Hello, you're listening to VHC, Vibes, History, and Culture, a show where we explore the unknown and little-known facts and gems about music and popular culture from a millennial lens. This is your host, Kevin Washington, and in this episode, we are taking a special look into the latest album from Beyoncé, Cowboy Carter. And I know a lot of other folks in the media stratosphere have dissected this new release from Queen Bee already, including the amazing tracks on the album and the production work, songwriting, and collaboration work that went into producing the album, and the continuing debate about the album, including a lot of discord over what constitutes as quote unquote country music and who can be or what defines a country artist. But I wanted to have a different approach to the conversation, and as those other conversations are being held and are continuing to be held, I wanted to approach this episode about the historical significance of the album from the elements Beyoncé included, including the artists she collaborated with, like the unsung heroes of country like Linda Martell, and rising new black country female artists, who, thanks to the album Cowboy Carter, are getting a newfound dominance in the music scene. Also, little known and unknown gems about some of the tracks in the album and the collaborations and historical notes that it feels to me to be going unnoticed or not talked about enough. So join me in this journey as we explore the vibe that is Cowboy Carter. And as we get into the conversation, I just finished in what I like to call my sort of third round of listening to the full album of Cowboy Carter. And I love it. I just love it. And I also get that this album is not going to be everyone's taste. And guess what? That's okay. Music is subjective and to each his own. But I also believe that any artist has a right to make any type of music that they want to, especially say that artist started out in R&B like Beyoncé, but goes on to venture out into other types of genres, exploring and experimenting while making incredible music while doing it, then that is totally fine as well. And I've already seen folks making critiques that they wish Queen Bee would return to quote-unquote R&B music that they love. But there's a huge but in that. I feel if you are gifted like the way Beyoncé is gifted and has a love for music, no matter the genre and the skills and the talents to share that with the world, then she is within her right to do any type of genre that she pleases. This, to me, feels like the same conversation that they were having about Whitney Houston when she was booed at the Soul Train Awards for singing quote-unquote pop music, the type of pop music that folks felt that wasn't real R&B or black music. Skip the fact that pop music was influenced and rooted in black music, just like a lot of other genres of music from blues, rock and roll, jazz, pop, and yes, country. And that was the biggest purpose, in my opinion, that Beyoncé was trying to expose and share with the world, the black roots of country music. And for the record, Beyoncé herself said that this latest album isn't a country album. It's a Beyoncé album, an album that is helping expose the hidden history and hidden gems, including the greats of the past and present of the genre that sadly had been lost or pushed in the background, but now are all coming up into the forefront thanks to this amazing album, the musical genius and innovative and creativity of black country artists and artistry is getting much needed shine. This new exploration of a genre that has often been associated with mostly white and rural has opened up a much-needed conversation of the complexities of the genre regarding race, class, and what defines country music and country art is. And as you're hearing right now is Texas Hold'em from the Cowboy Carter album, one of my personal faves from the album. And what many are now discovering about the song, the person playing the banjo on the track is Rhiannon Giddens, a North Carolina native like myself from the High Point area, who first came on the scene as the lead in the group The Carolina Chocolate Drops, a Black Americana folk band who have amazing tunes like Country Girl.
Living was easy, but the playing was hard. Didn't have much, nothing comes for free. All you needed was your family. I am a country girl. I've been around the world. And every place I've been ain't quite nothing like living in the South. I wanna shut your mouth. I am a country girl.
And as a solo artist, Giddens has had some great tunes of her own, like
I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water.
I've always been a fan of Rhiannon Giddens and have loved her work as she has made a mark in the Americana and folk scene, breaking barriers in the genre like other Black performers like Yola, Allison Russell, and greats before her like Tracy Chapman. In the second episode of the second season of VHC, we explored some of those artists, including Giddens, in the exploration of the contributions of Black Americana, folk, bluegrass, and country artists alike. The unsung heroes, as I like to call them, and the beautiful tapestry that is their music and the roots that Black Americana, folk, and country artists and musicians have played in developing these genres. And I just love that Beyoncé included Rhiannon Giddens on the song Texas Hold'em, which has a significance for Giddens, who mentioned in a recent interview with ABC about her growing up loving the sound and music of folk Appalachian mountain music, but felt because she was a Black girl growing up in the South, that the genre and the music wasn't for her. That's until she learned the origins of the banjo instrument, the same banjo instrument that has its roots from Africa, specifically from the enslaved Africans in North America and the Caribbean. The name banjo is derived from several original names, including the Mandinka language, which comes from the name Banjul, which is the capital of the Gambia. Another claim is a connection to the West African instrument, the akantin, that originated from the Jola people in Gambia, Senegal, and Guinea-Bissau. And the original instrument was made with a long bamboo neck called banjo, spelled B-A-N-G-O-E. And the material for the neck of the instrument is also called banjulo. The banjo originally played a major role in Black American traditional music and rural folk culture before entering the mainstream via the minstrel shows of the 19th century. So it is important to understand this history of the banjo, which is often associated with white rural Appalachian culture, but is derived and influenced from African language, music, and culture, making the meaning of Rhiannon Giddens playing the banjo the first thing you hear in the opening of Queen Bee's hit song, Texas Hold'em, all the more important and special. Now on to another song that is another standout for me.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise.
The cover of the song Blackbird, which was originally done by the legendary rock band The Beatles.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise.
The song was written by Beatles band members Paul McCartney and the late John Lennon, and the lyrics of the song originally were inspired by from the group hearing the call of a blackbird in Rishikesh, India, where the band was studying transcendental meditation, and upon preparing the song in Scotland, the group became alarmed by the growing civil rights movement in the United States. The group wrote the song as a response to the civil rights movement and the inhumane treatment of African Americans in the U.S. at the time. Along the lines of the civil rights movement, Paul McCartney has mentioned in the past that the Little Rock Nine, who integrated their segregated high school in Little Rock, Arkansas in 1957, was part of the civil rights inspiration behind the song. The original song is so beautiful and just well crafted, and the meaning behind it, of course, powerful, and how great it was of the acknowledgement of that time while being inspirational to the black community that was enduring such inhumane discrimination, which makes Beyoncé's cover of this iconic classic all the more important.
Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life.
In this version, Queen Bee features black country singers Brittany Spencer, Raina Roberts, Tanner Adele, and Tiara Kennedy. Also in Beyoncé's version, the song samples the original Beatles instrumental arrangement, and Paul McCartney recently expressed his admiration for Beyoncé's cover as he shares that Beyoncé's version reinforces the Beatles' original message behind the original song, which was about civil rights and the treatment of black Americans. And I'll add to that, it was just perfect that Beyoncé brought in four black women in country music to join in on this cover in the backdrop of the newfound focus and exposure of black country artists, especially black female country artists who have often been forced into the margins of the genre or completely ignored altogether as they fight to be heard on the country music scene that has often made them and black fans and admirers of country music feel unseen and unheard. In fact, that's how Beyoncé felt when she performed at the 2016 CMA Awards alongside her fellow Texas natives' iconic country trio, the Chicks, formerly known as the Dixie Chicks, who were already by this point alienated from the country music industry due to their stance against former President George W. Bush's war in Iraq. Beyoncé was performing with the Chicks her song Daddy Lessons off her 2016 Lemonade album, which has some country influenced in the song. But from what I recall, Beyoncé was not well received from a lot of the country music fans online and elsewhere, as well as some of those in that audience and some stars as well. I recall a lot of the racism and the misogyny in some of the online comments, which enraged me, but which was also completely unsurprising to me, which is the sad part. And all of that was confirmed recently when the subject of why Beyoncé developed the idea and premise of her latest album, she mentions that the inspiration behind Cowboy Carter stems from being made to feel unwelcomed by the CMA fans and audience, as they made her feel that she wasn't allowed to perform or to be in touch with some of her country music roots. Roots that are rooted in Houston, Texas, where Beyoncé was born and raised. So that's why for me, Beyoncé's version of Blackbird is just as powerful as the original from the Beatles. And in this last part of the exploration of Cowboy Carter, I wanted to have a chance to share with you some country artists that I think you should be paying attention to, like the duo, the Kentucky Gentlemen.
A few drinks in, I know you know that we're both feeling it. We got one thing on our minds, I can see it in your eyes, and staying here's just wasting time. I'ma close my tab and we can leave right now. Jump
right in a cab. And they are real life brothers out of Forsyth, Kentucky, who have garnered a loyal fan base, especially online, on top of being named the 2023 Artist to Watch by NPR and Nashville's Country Music Almanac. Also, the duo are part of the 2023-2024, the Academy of Country Music Future Leaders of the Music Industry On-Ramp Program. And they recently released music on Apple Music Session with Fancy Haygood that also includes country music star TJ Osborne of another country brother duo, Brothers Osborne. And last but not least, their past singles, Vibin' and Whatever You're Up For, have topped CMT's music video countdowns. And I was first introduced to them, I believe, around last year, online through the song that you heard by them, Leave Right Now. And I just love their soulfulness of their sound. That blending of a little bit of soulful hip hop in the backdrop, which is so cool. And here's another trio that first got noticed on America's Got Talent show. Chapel Hart, who took on the classic song by Dolly Parton and put a new spin to it called You Can Have Him, Jolene. And I just love this song and the music video too. It is such a cool video and I highly recommend you check that out, as well as their music. And the group actually performed this original song during the 17th season of America's Got Talent back in 2022. And they also did another original song, flipping another country classic by another barrier-breaking woman in country, the late great Loretta Lynn, following her passing. And I just love seeing these amazing black country artists and musicians on the scene, breaking the doors and the barriers while standing on the shoulders of those who paved the way. Like an Alice Randall, the first African-American woman to write a number one country hit, the 1994 hit single, X's and O's, American Girl, by country music icon Trisha Yearwood. And that's not all. Over 20 of Randall's songs have been recorded, including several top 10 and top 40 records. And not only Alice Randall, but other trailblazers like the great Linda Martell, who is another hidden gem who is, by the way, no longer hidden, thanks to Beyoncé bringing her on the Cowboy Carter album, shining a light on Martell and her music while paying homage to her as well. And speaking of Dolly Parton and her 1973 classic Jolene, yes, B collaborated with her while covering her classic, also collaborating with another giant of country, outlaw country great D. Willie Nelson, lending his words and voice to the album, given that Willie Nelson's stamp of approval and praise, who's also a native Texan. And Parton also gives her praise for the cover and reinterpretation of Jolene, as well as lending her voice on the intro part of the song, referring to the Becky with good hair in reference to the auburn-haired Jolene, which is so cool and amazing. But we're not going to focus too much on the Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson aspect of the album, but we're exploring the awesomeness that is Linda Martell, another unsung shero of the genre who I and many felt got lost in the history of country music like a lot of black female performers.
Linda Martell.
That is Martell performing her 1970 classic, Bad Case of the Blues, on the 1970 episode of Hee Haw. This song was Martell's third single of her 1970 release, Color Me Country. Martell was country music's first commercially successful female country artist. She had her first hit in 1969 with a cover of the pop hit Color Him Father. The single reached the top 25 on the country music charts at the time, and with her being the first commercially successful black female artist in country music, she was also the first black woman to perform at the Grand Ole Opry, where she performed 12 times. Linda Martell was born and raised in South Carolina, where she listened to country, gospel, and R&B music growing up. And by her teen years, she formed a singing trio with her family called Linda Martell and the Anglos. During the 1960s, the group recorded a handful of R&B singles and sang alongside other black performers. However, the group had little success and soon parted ways. So by the time she was a solo artist, Martell was discovered singing country music on an Air Force base. This led her to being introduced to producer Shelby Singleton, who signed her to his Nashville label in 1969. The same year, the label released Martell's country cover of the pop hit Color Him Father. The song became a top 10 single on the Billboard charts, and her debut album followed in 1970. Fast forward to 2024, with Queen Bee's including Martell in Cowboy Carter, where she made two spoken word appearances, one on the track Spaghetti and the Linda Martell Show, in which that provides a special lead-in to the song Ya Ya.
We clapping.
Which is sort of a politically charged song with a nod to history, paying tribute to a lot of the great black artists and musicians who faced racism and harsh discrimination during the height of segregation. Which makes the inclusion of Linda Martell in regard to that sentiment all the more important, rich, and powerful. Martell also expressed praise about the project from Beyoncé and for being included. And it is such a great moment in music history for many to be exposed to the music of Linda Martell. There is no country music without the innovation and style and creativity of Black Americans, along with the mixtures of old European folk music with old-time Appalachian folk music as well, with other great musical traditions blending together with elements of blues, Black spiritual and folk traditions, and the sounds like the banjo, which all blends together, making the beautiful tapestry of music and culture that, thanks to Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter, has brought to the forefront of the collective American consciousness and conversation. And on a personal note, this album has awakened something in me that I never really expressed before, but have in small ways, especially on this podcast. But I can't really explain it, really, with the release of this album and, for me, the re-examining the totality of Beyoncé's catalog, seeing the genre-defying career she's had, breaking barriers and boundaries on what not just artists from R&B and soul and pop can do, but what Black artists and creatives can do, like, see, and hear. Sort of a freeing moment for me as a quirky Black man who was a quirky, creative, imaginative Black kid growing up in North Carolina during the 1990s. While loving R&B, Black gospel, and hip-hop, I also had interest and love for other types of songs, genres, and artists, including some 90s country music, like one of my favorite Martina McBride songs, like Wild Angels, just to throw that out there. And it is because of that I also felt I couldn't really express that without the fear of being teased or criticized or having my Black card revoked. But I was reminded by the great Dr. Henry Louis Gates Jr. that there's not one way to be Black. And thanks to Beyoncé, with her helping rip the Band-Aid off, that Black artists and musicians and music isn't one way either. And that, to me, is what the vibe of Cowboy Carter is giving in this moment in history. And as we close this episode, just want to thank you for listening to the podcast whenever you're listening to the podcast. And also thanks to those who subscribe, download, and share the podcast. And we encourage you to continue to do just that. And coming up in the next episode, I got a chance to chat with members of the band Burnt Reeds, a quintet composed of professional musicians from the Charlotte, North Carolina region. And we got a chance to get into some conversations on their musical careers and their love for bringing classical music into a modern audience. So tune in to the next episode for that one, and tune in to the podcast on Spotify, as well as Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, and all other podcasts available. You can reach out to me via email, kevwash46@yahoo.com. Also on social media, on Instagram, at Kevin_Washington_887. And check out VHC's website, kevwash46.wixsite.com/VHCP. VHC is also on Facebook and YouTube. You can also find yours truly on LinkedIn. This is your host, Kevin Washington, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.